This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
But anyway, it's December 1st, and we're excited to talk to you. I want to talk to you just a standalone sermon, standalone message. I hope will encourage your heart today and challenge you. And we're just simply calling it sacrifice. And honestly, I don't know about you, but when I hear that one word, sacrifice, it resonates different type of emotions and thoughts that come to me. Sometimes it could be like, oh, sacrifice. I don't like to talk about sacrifice. Other people really enjoy the thought of sacrifice. It's just like, it's just one of those words that as soon as you hear it, things come to your mind, different ideas of what does that mean to sacrifice? And it's funny because this time of the year that we're in always tends to have us focus on sacrifice or focus on giving and generosity and all those things. It's just something about this little segment of the year that we're in and causing us to look outside of ourselves. In 25 days, literally from today, it'll be Christmas, and you will be sitting around and you go out of your way to give to others and to look outside of yourselves. And so you're so excited to give someone this gift that you've spent so much time with. And some of you went out Friday, right? Looking for the cheapest gift you could find for someone, right? And maybe you're looking even for yourself. That's usually how it works, is you go for someone else, but you find for you, right? And so it's the idea of this giving and sacrifice. And so we have been challenging you and challenging us as a church about like living life or making life about eternal importance and eternal impact. Like, why are we here? Why do we have this building? Why do we have all we have? Why do we do what we do if it's not about the eternal impact of other people? And so we've been challenging with that. And I really believe that eternal impact is always tied to generosity. And generosity, we always like to tie to a dollar sign. And yeah, that's true. But generosity can be more than a dollar sign. Generosity and how you treat others and how you act and how you just simply live your life. And I just think sacrifice and living the Christian life and impact is always going to be tied to generosity. And so today I want us to look quickly at a story that is mentioned in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament are the Gospels. And we're here and there's one story that is mentioned in all four of those Gospels. Like there are very few events in the life of Jesus that are actually mentioned in all four of those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the story we're going to talk about today is one of those stories that is mentioned in all four. And it's a story of extravagant generosity and sacrifice. So we're going to be reading out of Mark. If you have your Bibles there, if not, it's on the screen for you. And this is Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 3. Look what it says. It says, "While he was at Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head." Now, let's just pause for a minute, and I just want to say this. By the way, who is the he in the story? Jesus. Okay, good. I just want to make sure we all know that, all right? Like, it's not me. Okay, it's he is Jesus. And if you're in church, it's a little insight for you. If you ever have a question, the answer is always Jesus, okay? So he's talking about Jesus. She breaks it over his head, pours out this perfume. And look what it says. "Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, 'Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' And they rebuked her harshly. 'Leave her alone,' said Jesus. 'Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me.'" He goes on, Jesus says, "The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured the perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly," Jesus says, "I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Like, you have to think of how unbelievable this is. This This lady, her one act of generosity, her one act of sacrifice, pouring this ointment out on Jesus, has been preached about for over 2,000 years. Like this one act, this one sacrifice, this one very moment will be talked about all the way into eternity. And I just simply want to challenge us today before we're doing baptisms today. We're excited about after service is over or about the end of service. And we're excited that before we get, but this message really coincides with that. I want you to understand something, this one simple phrase, there will always be significance of sacrifice. There's always significance to your sacrifice, to the things that you give up. Because the world is all about, they have this mentality in there that's always about yourself. Like there's this one big spotlight that wants to shine on us all the time. And that spotlight always says, well, you know, take the easiest way. Like always, what's best for me? Generationally, we've seen it gone down from all the way from the boomers to the Xers to the millennials to Gen Z to Gen Alpha, all the way down. It's like more and more, it zeroes in on what's in it for me. It's all about me. I matter. And I think to myself, what if we as followers of Christ, we flip the script and we lived a life of sacrifice. A life of sacrifice that adds significance to your life. Now, for me personally, just speaking for myself, but I've never understood runners. You know what a runner is, right? Those people, right? Like what about that seems fun? I have no idea. And just this last week, I saw photos of my families and friends of mine across the country and even families in our own church who did a thing called turkey trots, right? Where like, we're going to get up on Thanksgiving Day and go running, like a 5K, 10K, whatever that may be. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, you know, there really are two type of families in the world. Those who run on Thanksgiving and those who do not. We are do nots, all right? Like that just doesn't make sense. By the way, if you're in here and you're single and you're in the dating world, I would just say that this needs to be the very top of your question list. Like, are you a runner? Okay, because you do not want to be unequally yoked if you're not a runner, okay? Because they will force you, hey, get up and go with me. Or what? Crazy? Look at me. So, but me personally, I kind of live with this motto. I feel like I'm walking with the Lord enough. I don't need to run, right? So I'm good. But what I kind of like think about running, if you're going to do a 5K or what I've learned, or a half marathon or a marathon, is that you train. Like you have to train. Like you prep to run. And the thing is, to me, it doesn't make sense. Like really, folks, Americans, think about this. You have to run before you run. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like I think, I was like, if the aliens would invade our world right now, they would come down and they would evaluate the whole running scene, they would probably be like, wait, I don't understand. Like, you prep to run so that you can run. Like, the reality is, that doesn't make sense. But there is a truth to it. Like, you have to do the difficult things now so you aren't embarrassed then, right? And the only way to do it then is to sacrifice now. And hear me, church, this morning. You will never stumble into a life of significance by accident. You just won't. You won't stumble into a life of significance by accidents. You will sacrifice your way to significance, right? Anything great in life is the result of a sacrifice, a significant sacrifice that you've done beforehand. Like if you want a great marriage, there's sacrifice. Like if you want to do well in school or in college and you want to build that career, there's sacrifice. If you want great kids or grandkids, there's sacrifice tied to that. If you want to have a great business or do well in your job, then you've learned to sacrifice. And hear me, more importantly, if you want a thriving relationship with God, then you've got to learn that there are moments of sacrifice that are necessary to build a significant relationship with God. So what does it mean to sacrifice? Like to sacrifice to God, in my definition, just simply means this. It simply means offering to God something that cost you. It's offering to God something that cost you. Like we are giving God something of value, and that is what the Christian life is all about. It's about we respond to God's love for us by giving things that we love. That is what true Christian sacrifice is about. It's about, I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to sacrifice my days off. I'm going to sacrifice my finances or my preferences or my talents and my giftings. It's a sacrifice to the Lord, and absolutely, it costs us something. But hear me, when we live a life of true sacrifice, hear me, there are going to be moments where you give God something that costs you. King David in the Bible, we know that he showed us throughout scriptures this life of sacrifice. I mean, he was kind of a poster child, an Old Testament poster child for sacrifice. And here's a king that could have anything he wanted, but he understood the idea of cost and understood the idea of giving God what is God's. And there's one particular story in the Bible where he goes through a time of victory, where God just provides for him. And he wanted to offer to God a sacrifice. He wanted to do something for the Lord to honor him for what he's done for him. And so he finds a piece of land, and he says, I want, in this one little piece of land, I want to build an altar to the Lord. I want to build this altar to honor, to sacrifice to the Lord for all that he's done for me. But the reality is he didn't own the piece of land where he wanted to build the altar. So he goes to the owner, and he says, listen, I'm the king, I'm King David, and I want to build an altar to the Lord on this piece of land that you own. And so David looks at the owner, and he says, how much would it cost me to purchase this piece of land from you? And the landowner is like, no, whoa, says to David, wait, you don't need to pay me anything for this. You're the king. You can have it. I give it to you. And I want you to see how David responds to him. In 2 Samuel, David replies to him. He says, but the king replied to Ornua, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to live a life where my worship cost me something. And I want you to get this across this room today. It'll simply be on the screen for you, but here it is. The Christian life should be marked by moments of significant sacrifice. I wish I could say, man, we just put on our backpacks and we just go and do life and everything's great. We just come to one of those moments where we're like, hey, God, I give you my heart, and the light shines on you and you just go through life and everything's rosy and you can just check that box and move on. But the reality is, if you're going to follow Christ, the Christian life will be marked by moments of significant sacrifice. Like, if I was being practical with you today, I could break some down to you. Maybe this fits you, maybe it doesn't. But just practical things, moments that we do to sacrifice. Like maybe, just maybe, you sell something you have. Oh, gosh, Pastor, don't talk about this. You sell something you have to help the church or help people in need. Just sacrifice. Like when the storm of July hit Missoula, I remember the church was blessed to be able to not lose power. So we were able to open our doors here and allow people to come in and take showers who didn't have power and just have internet access and just different things like that. And some people in our church, they sacrificed their time to come and help. They sacrificed their own personal cleanup at their own places, and the lack of power at their own homes, to come and help those who are in need. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is you inviting people over to your home that you don't even like. Like that you would rather avoid, than it would be so much easier. But you know that you're called to be a light to others. It's the Christian life. The Christian life is you don't like the worship song. You don't like the lighting. You don't like the person that's singing it. But you sacrifice your preferences for the good of others. The Christian life, sacrifice looks like forgiving someone even though they don't deserve it. You're like, well, Pastor, they didn't tell me they're sorry yet. I'm like, who cares? Take the higher road. You're the Christian. Like, sacrifice your pride and forgive. Sacrifice means you're the peacemaker. Like, we solve the problem even though we didn't cause the problem. Like sacrifice means you sacrifice your, okay, hang on. Don't get up and leave. You sacrifice your vacation time. What? You sacrifice your vacation time to go on a missions trip. Or hey, how about serve at camp this summer? Come on, right? How about like you do something to help someone that are less fortunate? You sacrifice your personal time. And some of you is like, I can't imagine doing such a thing. Like, it's my time. I earned it. I need it. And I would just encourage you and say to you, well, maybe that's why you aren't living a life of significance, because you have removed sacrifice from your life. I think sacrifice is offering God something so big that's beyond what is comfortable to you. And we see it throughout Scripture. The Bible is loaded with opportunities and challenges to sacrifice. The Bible calls us to that life of sacrifice. Here's a few. Romans 12:1, familiar scripture, says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, right, in view of all God's done, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is, look what he says, your true and proper worship. So in other words, because of how good God is, you offer yourself as a sacrifice. And Paul goes on and says, this is your true and proper worship. Like, what is true worship? It's offering yourself to the Lord. True worship is not what you sing. Like, what you sing really doesn't matter much if it's not backed with what the heart of sacrifice that's inside of you. Like, we just sang just a few minutes ago, like, I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. It's all that I have is, and we sing this song, right? Like again and again and again, right? And I'm like, again and again? Like, I've seen some of you on your bad days, and I don't know if that's gratitude that's coming out of you right now. Like you're throwing up your hands, but it's not to praise him, okay? Think about that. Do we really mean it? Like, are we worshiping because that is the posture of our hearts, that we live a life of sacrifice? Jesus went on and said another way. He says it in Luke 9, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. So we offer our lives to Christ. This is so counterculture to the world we live in. Like, we are taught the more you get, the more you protect, the more you take into yourself and keep for yourself, then you're creating a life for yourself. And now Jesus comes on and says, hey, no. If you give it away, then you create a life. Like, if you sacrifice your life, then you're creating a life. Not only are you creating a life, but then you find life. That's kind of counterculture to our world today. You mean, like, if I give it away and I sacrifice, then I actually find life. It's so opposite to our world. And the kingdom of God says, hey, you want to be significant? Then you start with sacrifice. Ephesians, Paul writes it this way, and walk in the way of the Lord just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. Like, we didn't even look at the worship set. I didn't even look at the worship set when we put this message together. And I'm like, wow, look, we sang about being a fragrance to the Lord, an incense that is pleasing to him. And here's Paul saying, listen, when you sacrifice, when Jesus sacrificed on the cross, when he gave himself up, he was a fragrant offering. This is worship. This is Christ saying, hey, listen, follow my example. I'm offering myself up. And as I offer myself up, it's a fragrance to the Lord. You want to know what honors the Lord? When you offer your life to him. One more, Psalms 51, right? David writes it this way. He says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. So what is his sacrifice? It's like, I'm giving you my life in the good times and in the bad times. Like, we really have bad theology that's like, well, God's not happy with me when I'm going through a bad time. We really have bad theology. It's like, well, I must not be doing the right thing because I'm going through a bad times. Hey, listen, even in the good times and the bad times and the broken times and in the whole times, we still sacrifice to God. He's still worthy of our praise. So let me clear something up to you real quick. Be on the screen. I want to just let you know this morning. We are not saved because of our sacrifice. Like, I don't want you to get that mantra to me today. Well, pastor says the more I sacrifice, the more I'm saved. And that's just not true, because there is no good deed that you could do to buy your way into heaven. There is no amount of money you can give to earn your way to heaven. There is no, how many times you can go to church every day of the year, it does not earn your way into heaven. You are not saved because of your sacrifice. You're saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who was crucified for your sins and for my sins. And we need to know that was the payment that was necessary for us to find eternity in heaven. It was the payment that was necessary for us to have forgiveness of sins so that our lives could be restored. It was a sacrifice that you and I should all be thankful for today. But in response to this sacrifice, we understand this one thing. Here's the second part of it, that we sacrifice because we have been saved. We sacrifice because we have been saved, because God has been so good to us. Like when we in return, because he's been so good to us, we in return figure out, hey, listen, how can I respond, God? How can I give back and sacrifice to him because he's been so good to me? And that's what our journey is. God, how can I sacrifice for you because you've been so wonderful to me? That is why we live a life of sacrifice, because we know how good God's been to us. So we go to our story, right? And there's a story of this extravagant sacrifice, right? We don't know much about this woman, really at all. We don't know a lot about, but we do know a lot about her sacrifice. We don't know a lot about her life, but we know a lot about her sacrifice, which is really something I thought about. I was like, you know, I wonder, do people know more about me, or do they know more about my sacrifice? Like, what do people identify with me most as a follower of Christ, who I am or my sacrifice? And this lady is known throughout history because of an extravagant sacrifice. Not her biography, but her action. We don't know her biography. We don't know much about it, but we do know her sacrifice. We do know her action. And the Bible tells us that this thing that she did, this perfume that she poured out, was worth a lot of wages, like a year's worth of wages. Like, to put together this ointment, this perfume, this oil that she was preparing as an example for Jesus' burial, you have to think about it. This thing was worth a year's wages. Like, I don't know about you, but we don't think about sacrifices many times like, hey, I'm going to give a year's worth of wages. Like, that would be great. We take it, promise you. But it's not realistic, right? But she gives up this thing that in today's value, this perfume, this ointment that she broke, that she gave, in today's value would be around $60,000 to $70,000. That's the value of this. Like, and this lady offers it to the Lord. It's not like today's world, right? How we view sacrifice and how we view the things that we give. It's a little different. Like we say, well, I need a sacrifice. I need to sacrifice something to God. So I'll go to my local Walmart. If we're thinking of fragrance, I'll go to my local Walmart and I'll pick up some Brut. All right? Brut by Fabergé. Right? How many of you remember the Brut world? Anybody remember the Brut world? Like, some of you are so young, you don't remember the Brut world. But I remember the Brut world. This thing kept women away from you. Like, what is that stench? This is the Brut world. So we go to Walmart. We pick up Brut. We're like, I'm going to sacrifice, right? Like, if you were single or ours and you use this, you probably still are single. And like, you had this and it was important. But the Brut smell is horrible. It is bad. And the reason it's horrible is because it's cheap. It's just cheap. It's not worth a year's wages, unless you're in college. It maybe is worth a year's wages. But it's cheap. Here's what this represents, right? You know what it is? My sacrifice, God, it's convenient for me. It's what's easy for me. It doesn't cost me too much. It just costs me enough, and hopefully that's good enough. It's what I have now, so I'll just give you what I have now. Okay, so maybe if you're young in here and the Brut illustration doesn't work, maybe you're of the generation where your sacrifice is the axe generation, okay? Come on. Different, but the same, okay? Different, but the same. And this is like your offering to God. Like I got my axe offering, and you know, it's really awesome, and I have everything, and this is what we do. We get our axe offering to God, and as God calling you to do, and you're like, yes, I'm giving him everything. Everything. And I'm like, everything? And you're like, yeah, everything. Like I give him 5 minutes every day. There you go. There's my axe offering. I put a few bucks in the offering plate. There you go, God. I sacrifice. It's my axe offering. Like, you know what? I even came to church a few times this month. Come on, that's double axe, baby, right? Look at all the sacrifice I'm doing for you, God. I gave God everything. And this is what we think sacrifice is the Lord to do. Look what I did, God. And hear me this morning. This is not what sacrifice is. That's what convenience is. And God has not called us to convenience. In fact, I wrote it this way. Because of his great sacrifice, he deserves better than our convenience. He deserves better than that. So this lady brought this great, great thing to him. She brought this precious sacrifice to the Lord. This ointment, this jar, this bottle that's full of nard. It was an ointment that would have been saved up for years and years and years. Many believe that it was actually an heirloom that would be passed down from generation to generation. It would be passed down especially to the girl of the family that was intended to be used for her wedding, for the groom, and that God had brought into her life. Or maybe some even believe that this would have been handed down from children to children. It just held so much value. And it represented to them more than money. This little thing represented life. It represented life. In fact, one scholar said it this way. I want you to get this. This is so cool. This one scholar says, the monetary value was nothing compared to the jar's intrinsic value. Listen to this. It was a kind of dowry meant to be saved and poured out on her groom's feet the night of her wedding. Without it, get this, she had little hope of securing a husband. In pouring the contents of her alabaster jar onto Jesus' feet, get this, she was saying, I have no future but you. I have no value but loving you. Look at this, I am yours. This is what she was saying to Jesus. I'm sacrificing my life to honor you. I am yours, God. I belong to you. She gives it to him. And what's cool about this scripture is she doesn't go like a lot of us would do, like take it out and go, hey, Jesus, there you go. Look what I did. I poured a little bit on you. Isn't that great? Doesn't it smell good? Isn't it great? Like, oh, God, here's a little bit of my ointment. The rest is mine. But I sacrificed. I gave it to you, God. It still smells good. I mean, it still has value to me. Like it was given to me, but I just poured a little bit on you. And Lord, isn't that a really, like, hey, Jesus, look what I did. Isn't that a really big deal? Aren't you really proud of me? But the Bible actually tells us, right, it's beyond that. You know what she did? I'm going to try this. Okay, we didn't practice this, all right? She broke it. She broke it into pieces. That's what the Bible says. And she laid it at his feet. Broken into pieces, this whole value, $70,000 to $60,000, she broke at the feet of Jesus. And she's saying to him, listen, I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to give you everything. Everything that I am and everything that I have. Listen to me. This is what the Christian life is about. It's not about, hey, Lord, I'm just giving you a piece of me. It's like, God, you are worth everything. I break it all. I give it to you. And as we pour out on God our sacrifice, it becomes our true worship. Like it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for her to go through this thing, to go throughout history and say, listen, I'm going to give this to you, but my life will be known throughout the rest of the world. Why would she break open a jar that's worth a year's worth of wages? Why would she do it? Isn't that just seem like a waste? It just seems like a waste to me. Hear me, church. The only way to understand the why is to know the who. Like, who was this lady? Let me give you a little background this morning. You have to dig into Scripture to understand who she is. And we know for a fact what her name is. Like, we know that her name is Mary. But how many know the problem with that is there's a bunch of Marys in the Bible. I feel like everybody's named Mary, right? There's a bunch of Marys in the Bible. But we do know that this wasn't Jesus' mother, Mary. We know it wasn't her. So there are two other options that jump out to us. Some scholars say that the two options are actually the same woman. But a little Bible background for you. So one option is based off the book of John and the book of Mark that we just read to you. And it would look like that this was the Mary from the town called Bethany. And now Mary would have been significant because she is the one who had a brother. And the brother's name was Lazarus. Now, if you're new to church, you're like, wait a minute, I'm lost. All right, it's okay. Remember, the answer is always Jesus. Okay, just go back to Jesus. But hang in there with me. Lazarus in this story is in this story. This story of Lazarus is right before this story that we read today. And Lazarus is Mary's brother, and Lazarus becomes sick. And he becomes sick and he dies. They bury him in the tomb, and he's there for 4 days before Jesus even shows up on the scene. Like, he's already smelling, looking bad. And Jesus walks up, calls into the grave tomb, and he says those famous words, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus rises from the dead. He comes walking out, wrapped like a mummy. And then the next passage we hear about Jesus is in Bethany, reclining at the table. So it could have been Mary of Bethany. It could also be another Mary. We see in Matthew and Luke, looks like a different Mary. And it was not the Mary of Bethany, but it was a Mary called Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, we see in the passage, because she is connected right in these verses in Matthew and Luke. And she was a woman who had come to contact with Jesus, and she had seven demons. And she comes in contact with him, and yet with this one encounter with Jesus, she's delivered and her whole life has changed. Totally delivered, set free. She leaves everything. She leaves this lifestyle and she begins to walk in freedom and she follows Jesus. And now we see her 12 different times throughout the life of Jesus. One of those being she was at the cross. One of those being she was literally one of the first people to be at the tomb to see the stone that was rolled away. She was literally a disciple of Jesus. So hear me, church. So maybe the Mary of Bethany or maybe the Mary Magdalene. It's one of those two that pours out this expensive ointment on Jesus. It doesn't make sense, but doesn't it make sense, the church, hear me, that it's one of those two? Because if God had done a miracle in your life, like he did for Mary of Bethany, where he brought somebody back to life that she loved, wouldn't you want to pour out everything you had on him too? If God delivered your life like he did Mary Magdalene, wouldn't you also want to put everything you have back to him as well? Like in 2024, almost in 2025, hear me, church, I believe he will still do those amazing things for you as well. And you are going to want to pour everything out on him because he's worth our worship. So in our story, the Mary comes to Jesus and she offers him something that's significant in her life. Like, and we are no different. Like, our lives should be marked by those moments where we offer God something significant. And so as we close out this morning, I want to give you quickly a couple, just some things to walk away with how to live a life of sacrifice. What do we need to do to get to that significance? What should be tied to our sacrifice? So quickly, let me give it to you real quick this morning. If we're going to live that life of significance, if we're going to live a life of sacrifice, then you need to seize the moments of significant sacrifice. Listen, don't go through life so quick that you miss the big moments. Like when Kim and I had our first child, like we felt like everyone was in on it, like on this plan, because everyone would come up to us and they would say the same thing. And we're like, are you guys like talking to, is this a conspiracy? Like you're all saying the same thing. Like people were programmed to say the same thing to every person who had a new kid. And they would walk up to us and they would say, you made a big mistake. No, they did not say that. They probably wanted to say that. That's not what they said. You know what they would say? Everyone would walk up to us and say, it's going to go by so fast. It's going to go by so fast. And we're like, why does everyone say that? Like, I don't believe that. Like, because those nights are long with a baby, right? Those diapers are full to the brim. When it says 5 pounds, that's all it holds, right? Like, you feel like you just finished one and you're on to another. Like, it never feels, like, what do you mean it goes by fast? And now I'm the father of a 24-year-old and a son had just turned 18. And now everywhere I go, when I see someone with a baby, I'm that person now. Like, I walk up to them and I'm like, hey, I just want you to know it's going to go by so fast. And they're like, hey, man, I'm just pumping gas. Who are you? Why are you talking to me? Right? Like, I'm just telling you, it'll go by fast. Enjoy it. Here's what we need to understand about life. Life goes by so fast. And if we aren't careful, you will rush through it, missing the crucial God moments along the way. Moments that involve your sacrifice to bring about the significance that God wants to do in your life. Like, we will go through life missing opportunities to bless people and to bless God. We'll miss the opportunities to serve others, to build the church, to give financially. Like, we've got to slow down and ask ourselves this important question. God, is there a moment right now, God, is there a moment right now that God has given me to sacrifice so that I can walk into the provision and the significance he has for my life? Like, maybe in your room, to maybe it's you sacrificing your pride. Maybe it is sacrificing your money. Maybe it is sacrificing your time. Maybe it is sacrificing some of your preferences so that others can be reached with the gospel. But listen to me, I know life is measured by minutes, but I also believe that life is measured by significant moments. And we need to recognize the moments that God is giving us. Recognize the moment that God's got you in. And ask the question, what are you asking me to sacrifice right now, God? What are you asking me to sacrifice so that I can reap the benefits later? And the sacrifice that you are in right now, that you're paying for right now, I know that it's painful. I know sometimes we go through those moments with God where, like, I can't see it, I can't feel it, I can't smell it. But hear me, it will come to pass for your benefit in your life when you hold on to sacrifice. And I know making the decision to sacrifice is a tough one right now. Wherever you're at and season in your life, it's a tough decision to do that. But I'm encouraging you to recognize the moment. Look around this church. Like, there are moments to sacrifice everywhere. Moments to volunteer and to serve. Moments to sacrifice in your giving. Moments to say no to yourself and say yes to building something at CLC. Moments for you to be a mom or a dad or a grandparent for your family and say, no, no, no. We are going to sacrifice something to grow our faith as a family. Moments to say, you know, there's a season in Montana for everything. And someone just said to me recently, I thought it was so pointed. They said, when is there ever a season for the church? When is there ever a season to be planted and make church and God a priority in your life? It's there. That's what God is asking us to sacrifice for. And I'm just encouraging you to pray and to ask God, what will you have me do so that my life stays significant, so that my life can be marked with sacrifice? And ultimately, you, God, are pleased with me and you get the glory. Today, we're going to be doing a baptism, and it's a sacrifice. It's all what it's about. Like, you get into this horse trough tank full of cold water, and you get in this place, and we say to you, why are you doing this today? We want you, because it's all about sacrifice. I'm sacrificing I'm giving God back everything that he's done for me. It's an act to say, God, I don't want to be the old person. I want to be the new person. And by the way, if you're here today, and you didn't sign up for a baptism, you've never been baptized, or maybe you haven't in a long time, and you want to be baptized today, you can still be baptized. You know why? Because we have clothes in the back for you to change into. We have towels. So when we dismiss people to be baptized and you want to get baptized and you didn't sign up for it, that's okay. Just follow us around that door right there, and we'd be happy to baptize you today. But that's what this is about. It's a sacrifice that has significance. Let me give you number two real quick. A life of sacrifice. If we're going to live a life of sacrifice, here, I love this one. I hope it applies to you today. You surrender the opinions of others and focus on the audience of one. You surrender the opinions of others and you focus on the audience of one. Hear me this morning. This lady comes to Jesus, right? In front of all the heroes of the faith, and she breaks it. She breaks this open jar, this expensive jar that everybody in the room knew what it was. And you would have thought that the great disciples of Jesus, these great followers that have been following Jesus, you would have thought that they would come into the room and they would be like, "Woohoo! What an amazing thing you just did." You would have thought they'd be like, "Mary, we celebrate you." You would have thought they'd been like, "Look at your sacrifice, Mary. Oh, yay!" And isn't it interesting that the very people that should be celebrating her criticized her? They criticized her. Isn't that interesting? And I would say to you today, church, be very careful that you're not living by the opinions of others when God has called you to live by the opinion of one. Your life will walk into its significant impact when you remove the idea of what are other people going to think about me? When you remove the idea of like, how will I be perceived? Like, I know for me, I'm speaking for Pastor Reed, every major decision I've ever made in my life didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. And especially didn't to people who were not people of faith. And so many of us are living our lives frustrated because the people around you aren't cheering us on. They're not cheering you on for the sacrificial faith journey you're on. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your mom and dad. Maybe it's a coworker, and they're like, "Why are you doing what it is that you're doing?" And we get frustrated that people who don't have faith or who have little faith aren't acknowledging your life of faith. And I just want to encourage you, faith and sacrifice will never make sense to others. But we don't live to honor and celebrate them. Church, we are living to honor and celebrate the Lord. And that's what it's about. And statements will come. Like the disciples, right? These were good statements. Like, they were logical statements. Think about it. Like, remember what they said in the passage. Hey, Mary, what did you do? You could have sold that and given the money to the poor. How many know that's logical? How many know that's religious? That's a great logical and religious statement. Hey, man, I could tell you better things you could do with your sacrifice. And that's what people do with our lives when it comes to sacrifice. You're still serving at that church? Like, really? Like, our worship team, you mean you got up at 7? You got here at 8 o'clock and you don't leave till noon? Are you nuts? Like, can I tell you, people will say, can I tell you a better way that you could use your time? Like, another person say, hey, there's so many other things you could do with your free time. And literally, we start to question. Well, maybe they're right. You know what? That's logical. That makes sense. Maybe this isn't the best use of my sacrifice. Like, some of you are like, yeah. I'm like, I've been serving with those kids. None of those babies has ever thanked me before. Why am I doing this? Maybe this isn't the best use of my time. And you know what? It doesn't make sense. But we're not trying to appease others. We're our sacrifice, we want it to please God. We want to please him. And it doesn't make sense, but it's what God's told us to do. And I want to challenge you with this today. This lady had to come to an understanding that we all need to come to today. That whenever God asks you to step out in faith, when he asks you to step out, it's not going to make sense to you probably, and it's definitely not going to make sense to the world. And they're going to tell you or they're going to imply to you that what you're doing is a waste, just like they did with her. But here's what you and I have to understand. If you're taking notes, you can get this one statement. You and I need to understand this. My sacrifice, your sacrifice, is not waste, it's worship. It's not waste, it's worship. It looks like waste to the world, like to give my time and my attention. It looks like waste to the world to give my funds and my talents and my efforts. It looks like a waste to the rest of the world to actually give something that costs me to God. It seems wasteful, but we understand this morning, it's not waste, it's my worship. Like when I give something that cost me, it's a sweet fragrance to God. It's worship to him. Worship is not about a chorus. It's not about a song. It's about a life that we give. What pleases the world that pleases the Lord is not just what comes from your mouth, church. Really, what pleases the Lord is what's in your heart. And the challenge for us this morning is, does God really own your heart? Does he really own it? Is it really your true worship, or is it just a token that we give him? Hey, God, here's my token. Here's my little bit I give you, God, and aren't you just so pleased with my sacrifice? Or is it like, hey, God, I give it all to you. You have permission to use my pieces. You have permission to put it all back together again the way you want to do that. In all an attempt to bring significant, not just to my life, but bring significance to the Lord. And the lady is in the midst of being ridiculed, and Jesus steps in for her. Isn't that great? Jesus will step in for you, church. He'll come on the scene and defend you. And he immediately steps in. He doesn't sit back and watch the fight and go, this is fun. Look at these two go at it. He steps in. And he says to them, no. She's done the better thing. She walked in worship. Hear me, church. Let us be a church that understands who cares what people say or think about us, right? They don't understand our worship because they don't understand our God. And if we are dictated by the opinions of culture, we will live lukewarm lives. Not only, and even more deeper than that, we will quit at the first sign of opposition. We walk in significance, and we do it God's way. In other words, my acts of faith don't make sense to anyone else, but they are my worship to the Lord. The last quick thought is simply this. Hey, man, if we're going to live a life of sacrifice, then we release what we have. When we release that thing that we have, we position ourselves to receive what God has for us. It's putting us in position. We talked about this for 3 weeks. You give because you're putting yourself in position to receive what God has for you. It's the same with sacrifice. When you sacrifice, you're only positioning yourself to really get what God has for you. And when you realize a sacrifice to the Lord is never a waste, what happens is you actually realize it's a seed. And hear me, when you bring a seed and you put it in the ground, you don't mourn the seed. You don't put a seed in the ground and go, bye, seed. You know what you do? You put a seed in the ground, and you know what you do? You expect a return from that seed. And every time we worship the Lord through our sacrifice, whether it's through your attention, whether it's through your time or your funds or your preferences, it becomes a seed. And that seed is not wasted. In fact, that seed will reap a reward for you. And I'm telling you, church, it is the example of the character of God, that anything you've put at the feet of Jesus, anything you lay at the foot of Jesus, it will come back into your life in ways that you could never imagine. You might think, oh, man, this is difficult. I have to put this at the feet of Jesus. Hear me. It's the character of God that whatever you lay at his feet, it will always come back to you in ways that you could never imagine. And the same lady who poured out this oil on Jesus' feet, I love this about her, right? It's the same one who walked away smelling like Jesus. Hey, man, there were other people in the room. There were other people standing around. She was the only one who walked away smelling like Jesus. She's the one who broke it, and the lard and the ointment came all over her as it poured over Jesus. She walked away just like him. It was worship to the Lord. But she's the one who smelled like Jesus. She was the one who got close to Jesus. She was the one who got all the benefits because she chose to sacrifice and give it to him. Listen, simply because she poured out her sacrifice on him, the result was that she got all of God had for her life. And I love how this story tells us that Jesus lets us in on a little insight here that they weren't quite fully aware of at that point. Because he says to her, hey, by this lady doing what she did, she was preparing me for my death. And I love he tells her that. Hey, by doing this, you're preparing me for my death. Hear me this morning. The lady thought she was worshiping, but little did she know that she was preparing for her own miracle. Come on. Little did she know what she would, the sacrifice she was preparing him for the greatest miracle that we still get to be a part of all these 2,000 years later. She thought, well, I'm pouring this out on God. But Jesus is like, you have no clue. You are preparing the miracle that's going to be the greatest miracle and the greatest sacrifice that anyone will ever receive in their life. And that is the knowledge of a Jesus who sacrificed his life and shed his blood so that we can be saved. It's the miracle of salvation through sacrifice. And I just want to say to every person in this room, no matter where you are, when you give to the Lord, when you sacrifice, you have no clue what ground you could be preparing for the greatest miracle that God wants to do in your life. You have no idea. You have no idea. You can't even see it now. The sacrifice that you do, the ground you could be preparing for what God wants to do in your life. Church, you can never outgive him. You can never outserve him. You can never outlove him. And hear me, you can never return more to him than he's already returned to you. Just can't do it. He will pour out more and more and more back into your life. He is faithful. And every seed of sacrifice that is sown in your life, every seed of sacrifice that is sown, just like Jesus who rose from the grave, and the Bible says that the same power that resurrected Jesus now lives in us. That same power, when you sow into him and you sacrifice him, things that you thought were dead, things that you thought were impossible, God resurrects them to life. But it all begins from sacrifice. So this morning, we are going to do something. We don't normally do it during this time of the service, but I thought the greatest example of sacrifice is this thing called communion. You have your communion cup, you can take it, you can grab it out. This one little thing that we do is such an indication of sacrifice. Like, it's the paramount thing that we do as faith, that we do as believers. This one act of sacrifice sums it all up. Because in this one act is, we don't talk about this a lot, but in this one act is healing. In this one act is salvation. In this one act is brokenness restored. And this one thing, this one little cup, this one little thing we're going to do represents so much sacrifice that God has poured out on your life. In fact, it represents the greatest sacrifice. And all the other things that you will do in life for your faith, all the other sacrifices you will make, doesn't compare to what we do in this little cup. The fact that Jesus sacrificed his life so that we get to spend eternity with him. And so he takes this little cup, this little bread that you see in this cup here, and it was a representation of his body. And his body was broken and it was bruised, and he takes this as an example, and he sits with his disciples and he talks about this sacrifice, and he goes, this is a representation of my body that will be broken and bruised for you. And when you do it, always do it in remembrance of me. And if you're here this morning and you need to be encouraged, you need to be reminded, you need to be motivated to sacrifice, it's right here in your hand. Here's your motivation. Jesus sacrificed for you. Lord, we thank you for this body that was broken. We now, Lord, ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us. We come before you, God, and we ask the question, Lord, what would you have me sacrifice so that we could bring significance to your kingdom? Lord, what would you have me pour out upon you? So, Lord, we are standing all, we stand in gratitude and thankfulness for your sacrifice, the body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take it together. He said, this is a representation of my blood that will be shed for you. Man, and in this blood is healing. And I just want to say to you in the room today, if you need healing, it's for you. In this blood is forgiveness of sins. If you need God to forgive you, it's right here. If you're in the room today, you're just like, I'm broken. I need something to bring it all back together again. It's in this representation, the sacrifice of Jesus. So, Lord, we're thankful for the blood today. We thank you for the sacrifice, the shed blood. that at any moment, Jesus, you could have called down angels to say, you know what, this sacrifice isn't worth it anymore. I don't want to do this. This is painful. This is humiliating. I'm done. And you could have been rescued from the cross. And in a life where we're so quickly easy in 2024, 2025, we're so easily swayed. We're so easily quit. We're so easily gone, I don't want to be a part of this. The sacrifice is too much. We stand before you today and we're thankful that the sacrifice was not too much for you to come off the cross. That you endured it and you shed your blood so that we can have the life we have now and spend eternity with you. Thank you, Lord, for the cross and the shed blood of Jesus. In your name, amen. We'll take this together. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'll just say this one thing. You're in the room today and you're at a place where you're like, I feel like my life is away from God. My sacrifice literally for me begins by saying, God, I need you in my life. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I need to commit everything to you. That's where my sacrifice begins. And maybe you're today like, I want to give that back to the Lord because he sacrificed so much to me. With your heads and your back, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed in a room today, this is a private matter. We're not going to embarrass you, but if you're in the room today and you would say to me, Pastor, my sacrifice begins by saying, God, here's my life. I give it to you. Right where you're at, right where you're sitting, would you just put your hand up, put it back down? I just want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you this morning, thank you. I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Real quick. Thank you. I see that. Come on. A lot of hands today. Lord, this morning, our sacrifice begins by saying, here's my life, I give it to you. I know, Lord, you've done so much for me, and you're worthy of my sacrifice. And every person that raised a hand today in this room, Lord, I just pray that right there where we're sitting, Lord, we can say, God, come into my life. I sacrifice my life for you. If that's you in this room, whether you raised your hand or you didn't, right where you're sitting, right on your own breath, you could say, Lord, I sacrifice my life to you. I give it to you. Would you come? Would you save me? Would you change me? Help me, God, to live for you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And I celebrate you today with my life. If that's you this morning, that's your prayer, listen, we believe you're saved. God can change you. You've given your life to him. In Jesus' name. Baptized today, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and step around the side door here. If you're in the room today and you're like, hey, I didn't come prepared to be baptized, but I want to be baptized, no shame. We've got extra shorts, t-shirts, towels, everything backstage for you to change into. Make your way around back. We want to have that opportunity to baptize you. So you can go ahead and make those adjustments now. We have people in the back that'll assist you if you need to know where to go. But we want to just take a moment to baptize those who are baptized with us. But the rest of you, would you stand with me this morning? And ask Rachel to lead us. Can we just sing this together as a commitment to the Lord and just as a prayer today? Remember, it's not about what we sing, it's about what's in our heart. And if this is in your heart today, would you worship him together with us? Come on, let's praise him.
You are the of it all.
thank you for the opportunity to just sing Worthy Are You. Thank you for what you're doing in our church today and the service that you're providing for us. Thank you for the growth you're bringing, new people coming in. We celebrate them, Lord. We celebrate what you're doing in our community. And I just believe, God, the greatest days for this church are ahead of them. And Lord, it will begin on a platform when people say, hey, we need a sacrifice. And it's worth it. God, you're going to return it all back to us when we sacrifice to you. So, Lord, I love what the lady represent. I pray that it be our representation today where we just simply say, I am yours. I'm yours, God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord real quick. Come on, pray. Amen. So, you may be seated. Hey, if you need to bounce out, we understand that, but we're going to do a quick baptism. We have a few people that are going to be baptized. We'd love for you to stay and celebrate that with us. And so it's going to be fun today. We love baptism. You know, what is baptism? Baptism is simply, hey, I am dying to myself so that I can be raised anew with God. And that's what it's all about. It's kind of a symbolism of, like, I'd like to describe it like a bath. And I love it because Jesus was the example for us, right? He said, hey, I got to be baptized. And he comes to his cousin, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, like any of us would be like, no. I can't baptize. You got to baptize. No. You're like, right? Jesus baptized me. And Jesus is like, no, this has to be done. And I love the story because Jesus is baptized. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, like a dove, fell on him, which was like crazy F-16 on him. And then I love right after that, he goes to the temple and he opens the scroll of Isaiah and he reads about, hey, this is the prophecy, the one that will come. And he reads this and he shuts it and he puts it down and he sits down like, I'm good. And all these priests and people are in the temple and they're like, wait a minute, is that Jesus? Like the same kid that's been coming since he was little to the temple, they didn't even recognize him. You know why? Because he was marked different. That baptism marked him differently. And we believe that today. Like every person who's baptized, that God is going to mark you differently from this moment on because you've sacrificed for him. So that being said, I don't know who's first, but Sawyer. Sawyer first. This is Sawyer. Come on, let's give it up for Sawyer. Go over here, Sawyer. Can kneel down on your knees. We didn't practice this, by the way, so if she doesn't make it, would you hold that for a second? Come over closer to me. I don't want to get wet. Okay. So this is Sawyer. All right, I'm going to have you hold that, but don't drop it in the water. You will shock. Okay. Not really, but this is Sawyer, and how old are you, Sawyer?
I am 14.
14 years old, and love Sawyer, love her mom, Ashley, and her family. Her grandparents are here all the way from the country of Ohio. And we have this kindredness because I'm not from Ohio, but my first pastor, youth pastor, was in Ohio in the same area that she's from and her family's from. And so we get together and we talk about cool restaurants and people and Amish people, right? And so Sawyer's here today to get baptized, and I'm so excited for this moment. So Sawyer, can you tell us a little bit maybe why you're here, why you're doing this today? And you gotta hold us like this because we want to hear you.
I'm here because I want to get to know Jesus better, and I want to have a path with him for the rest of my life.
Amen. I love watching Sawyer at youth group. I sometimes go in the back and peek, and I love watching her. She just worships God. I've seen her at camp. She's like the camp queen. She goes after it all. She enjoys the fun, but she most enjoys, I love watching them in worship and going after all that God has for them. And we just believe that this is going to be a marked difference in your life, right? You're never too young to accomplish all the things that God has for you, right? There's no age limit or no age requirement when it comes to Jesus, right? So allow this to be something incredible in your life. You ready for it? Amen. So I'm going to have you put this right here and this right here. Actually, let me pray for you first so you don't have to hold that forever. Lord, right now we just pray for Sawyer. We lift her up to you. I thank you, God, that she's here. That, God, you have divinely placed her here. That, Lord, you've equipped her for all the things you want to do, whether it be through her school, whether it be through her youth group, through her church, whether it's volunteering back in kids ministry. But God, all the things that you want to accomplish in her life, this is just the beginning. We thank you for the sacrifice that she's doing to say, God, I want to be a new person. And I want to accomplish and I want all that you have for me. And this begins here. And so, God, may you mark her life differently from this moment on. And we pray that over her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can plug up. I'm going to have you sit back on your knees. There you go. So, my friend Sawyer, on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My friend Ellie. Now, let me tell you how crazy this is. You were just married yesterday. Oh, yeah, come on. Just married yesterday in that foyer right out there. So I think it's official, maybe. And until it gets to the county, make sure it all gets there, okay? Yeah, okay. But Ellie got married yesterday, and I'll let you talk to Ellie. I'll let you hear her in a minute. But Ellie is all the way from what we call across the pond, right? England, all right? New Britain. What do you guys call it? England? Britain? England? Great Britain. Okay, yes. United Kingdom. All right, all those good things. Can I tell a story about you? I hope you're okay with this. All right, so last year, I'll be quick, I promise. But this young lady, I mean, she's met a young man here, and they fell in love, and they got married, and we've had some conversations about church hurt and different things like that, and yet she's coming here with just these bright eyes and experiencing God. And last year, you were at, I don't know if you remember this, but we did family communion. We're going to do it again at Christmas time, where we just have tables set up, and you can bring your families in, and one of the pastors will serve you communion. You want to be a part of that. And I remember her and Dylan coming in. They weren't married yet, of course. And we just had, my wife and I just had a conversation with Ellie. We got to meet her. And I remember praying with you, and the Holy Spirit was so strong in that moment. I mean, strong. My wife remembers it. And I remember Ellie, and I don't want to make fun of you, but I think it's awesome. She was like, whew, what's that feeling? I'm like, it's God. Wow. She's experienced, I mean, those are the moments you love, right? She's experiencing the Holy Spirit in that moment. I'm like, and I'm explaining to her, because your faith is kind of new. I'm like, this is what's happening. It's God. He's real. He's on you. He's doing all these cool things. And that was where I first endured my life to you. I thought you were awesome. So, where's my microphone? Yeah, I don't know if you were playing for this, but maybe just, can you share a little bit why? Wait, you guys are going to love this, all right? Love this accent. Why are you doing this today? For Ellie right now. I lift her up to you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in her life. Pray for her and Dylan as they start a new marriage together, a new life together. May they see all the dreams, all the plans and the visions you have for them. God, I believe begins right now for what she's doing, this sacrifice she's making to say, God, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to, as that baptism symbolizes, it's like a bath. It's like saying, God, I'm dying to my old self, so that I can be something new. And I pray, God, that this will be a marked difference in her life, that, God, all the plans you have for her will come to fruition. Lord, I'm thankful that it's not an accident that Ellie is sitting today in Missoula, Montana, at Christian Life Center. But God, it's divinely appointed for her to be here. so that, Lord, the plans you have for her could prosper and grow and succeed. And so thank you for what you're doing in her life. May you continue to see the goodness and the great God working inside of her. In Jesus' name. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sacrifice. The things that we're trying to accomplish, things we're trying to do, God, is all under your banner, under your righteousness, under your direction, and we want to be led by you. So, Lord, we honor you. May you find us humble. May you find us submitted to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, if you need prayer this morning, we have a prayer corner right here with some people that love to pray with you. Go over there and check that out. Grab a Christmas card before you leave today. It has all the Christmas things happening at CLC. Hope to see you Wednesday night. We've got things going on. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.